It gives us great pleasure to come into your homes or automobiles, wherever you are today, to wish you all our best for the holiday season. We trust Christmas will be a happy time of reunion and also a time of gratitude for us all. I want to speak to you today on the subject, the greatest man who ever lived. If we had to look down the centuries of time to choose the greatest man ever born, some might name some great king or statesman, perhaps a scientist, or some great general of armies. Others might choose a Bible character such as Abraham, Moses, or Solomon. And some might suggest Muhammad or Confucius. However, the Bible itself calls only one man wonderful and says he is higher than the kings of this earth. God himself called his name Jesus, and he is the Savior of the world. I would like to present seven reasons why he is the greatest man who ever lived. First, he existed before he became a man. When Adam sinned, God predicted that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's or Satan's head. The seed of the woman tells of one to come who would be born as, not born as other of mankind, born of man and a woman. But this one would be born of the woman only. He would be the seed of the woman. Isaiah 9 and 6 says he would be born of Israel, yet he would be called God's son, given. And he would be the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Whether men like to believe it or not, John the Apostle says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Yes, he calls him the Creator of all. Yet that same Word became flesh, or he became a man. Think of that. God the Creator, who always existed, became a man. He is the only God-man. Second, the details of his birth are fully given. 700 years before he came, the prophet Isaiah predicted a virgin would bring forth a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. The New Testament says Emmanuel means God with us. The prophet Micah foretold the place he would be born, in the town of Bethlehem. And third, his birth was miraculous. When the Holy Spirit came upon this Virgin Mary, and Christ was conceived in her womb, man had no part in this miraculous birth. And this child was born as no other, both sinless and holy. Mary was told that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God was giving his Son and sending him into the world that the world through him might be saved. Christ's coming proves this world is lost and man is incapable of saving himself. God had to provide a Savior. Fourth, he was born a king. Some have been born into royal families and might have been kings had not death or something else come in. But he was born king of the Jews. His death does not alter this. Wise men from the east saw his star and came to worship this child who was born king of the Jews. Although the Jews have rejected him, God's word will never fail. All the promises God ever made to that nation in his everlasting covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with the 12 tribes of Israel will be fulfilled. All who are wise today, like the wise men, will worship him. Fifth, he was born to die. All of us have been born sinners and must die. But he was born holy and did not have to die, yet he came for that purpose, to deliver us from our sins and from the law and the world that was under judgment. We have seen he was the eternal Word who became flesh in John 1:14. In John 12:24 and 7 it says, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. For this cause I came into the world. Yes, Christ came to be the mediator between God and man, between a holy God who hates sin and a sinful world that needed a Savior. Romans 5 and 10 says, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Hebrews 2 and 9 says, Christ tasted death for every man. And 2:14 says, through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, even the devil. The Bible teaches that the devil still has sinners in his clutches, and Christ had to defeat him through death to deliver us. Satan had the power of death until the cross. Now we read in Revelation 1 that Christ in heaven has at his side the keys of hell and of death. 1 Timothy 1:10 says, He hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Trusting Christ, Christians have no fear of death or of hell or of the devil. What a great Savior He is. I'm glad He's my Savior. I trust He's yours, or that you'll make Him yours. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, tell us the story of Christ very fully. It says He was in the form of God, that is, before He became man. Then He made Himself of no reputation. As man, He took on Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He looked like a man, but was in truth God, the Creator, the Son. Being found in fashion as a man, it says He humbled Himself. That's what Adam had failed to do. Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, He had to die on a cross to bear the curse of the law, to deliver us from its penalty. What a shameful death He had to die in order to save us. And then 6, He rose from the dead the third day. Philippians 2:12 says, Wherefore God has highly exalted Him in heaven, and given Him a name that's above every name. Think of that a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank God sinners are bowing to Christ as Lord and Savior all over the earth. But those who do not in the will, and that is in time, will have to bow in the day of judgment. God says every knee shall bow. The atheist, the infidel, the agnostic, the unconverted church member, and all others who will one day bow the knee to Christ. God has ordered this, and it will be done. Thank God for those who have done it already. The first man, Adam, had failed to obey God and to do God's will. Christ came as a man in order to do God's will. It was God's will that He should die for sinners, and on the cross we hear Him cry, It is finished. In His prayer in John 17, He could say, Father, I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. He had lived a perfect life, had offered that life on the cross of shame to save us, and now He cries, It is finished. I wish more people believed that Christ finished the work of salvation on the cross. Then He went back to heaven, where God has accepted that finished work on behalf of all who trust Him. 7th, in heaven, Christ has been exalted to be a Prince and a Savior. We read in Hebrews 10:12-14, This man, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We must be perfect to go to heaven. Christ's one offering makes perfect those who trust Him. Perfect before God. His blood cleanses from all sin. In the new covenant, God says, Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. I believe that because God says so, and He is the God who cannot lie. I would rather rest my soul's welfare on one word from God than all the words of man or churches or religion. God has exalted Christ in heaven to be a Prince and a Savior. No wonder Paul said, as he thought of Christ, this wonderful gift God gave to be our Savior, Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. No one can tell the worth and worthies of the Lord Jesus Christ. O sinner friend, look up to that living Savior now in heaven, bearing the nail scars of the cross. Once He hung upon the cross to pay your debt of sin, now He lives in heaven to save you. Listen to the glorious gospel told out so clearly and wonderfully plain in John 3:16-17 by Christ Himself, and also verse 36. We read, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen to John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Just think, God's wrath will abide on all those who do not have the Son. Those who have not opened their hearts to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. John 1:11 says, 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His name is Jesus, Savior. Oh, believe on him as your Savior, and you can be sure you're saved. In all things, Christ must have the preeminence. Put Christ before your baptism, your obediences, and all that you do, because he is not a helper, he is the Savior. We sometimes sing, Jesus paid it all, and he did. May we all give him all the credit. If you have never thanked God for this unspeakable gift, when he gave his Son to suffer and die to save your soul, oh, my friend, bow today. And this Christmas time, when people are receiving and giving gifts in memory of him, be sure you receive this gift from God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for this unspeakable gift. We thank thee for giving thy Son. We thank thee for everyone who has opened his heart and received him. And we pray that others will, and that this will be the greatest Christmas time in all their history, because they've accepted the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in his worthy name. Amen. And thank you, friends, for listening. God bless you.